May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our Gospel reading today, there is one very clear, very vivid picture drawn from everyday life. It is that of a grain of wheat that pops when it's ripened away from the ear and falls into the ground, where it's covered over and breaks up and dies. But eventually, from it grows another stalk of wheat, which bears many more grains. Jesus is making a spiritual point here, using this picture. There is a spiritual principle here about dying in order to be fruitful. He applies it in this passage, first of all, actually, to himself. He is already looking forward to the cross, and he is having to face the Father's call to die a painful death on the cross in order to be able to fulfill the calling of the Father and the will of the Father, and to be very, very fruitful, not just for that generation, but in every generation since. He knows, because he says so later, when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. This is the plan. And without the crucifixion, it wasn't going to happen. And yet Jesus is troubled because of the pain, because facing death is never easy. This passage in John is the equivalent in the Gospel of John to the passages about the Garden of Gethsemane in the other three Gospels. He says, "And now my soul is troubled." Well, of course it was. He realizes that he is to face a painful, painful death. And it's even more so in the sense that when he dies, he will be bearing the spiritual pain of all the sins of all the people of all the world for all time. This is a painful, painful path to walk. "My soul is troubled," he says. And what should I say? "Father, save me from this hour." Part of him rather wants to, but he knows that that's not right. "No," he says, "it is for this reason that I have come to this hour." Jesus embraces the necessity to die his death in order to be fruitful for the whole world. And also because that's part of his destiny with the Father. He says, those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is his way of doing the will of the Father and returning to the eternal life that he had with the Father before the world was created. And what should our response be to this? Well, first of all, it's simply this. The pain and agony that Jesus endured, we must remember that he endured it for us, more personally, for me. He bore my sins on the cross. And therefore, as we begin to prepare ourselves for entering the end of Lent and into Holy Week through Palm Sunday, we remember that when Jesus was lifted up from the earth on the cross, as we gaze on the crucifix, that we allow ourselves to be drawn again, afresh, all over again, to him, to Jesus, and through Jesus to the Father. But there's something else in this passage. He doesn't just apply this image of the grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying to himself. He says this: whoever serves me must follow me. We are to follow the path that he follows, the path that he walks. We are called to follow in the same path. And so this principle, this spiritual principle of being willing to die, to let go of everything perhaps that our soul and body yearns for, to let go for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of eternal life, is the path that we are called to follow too. And sometimes it really is a very painful path. Jesus followed this path not just in his death, but in his life. He let go the possibility of a house and a home of his own, with a kitchen and cooking and all sorts of things. But he received so much hospitality in other people's homes, so many meals provided for him. Jesus had to die to let go of friends and family that were based on village relationships and ordinary economic relationships. So he let go of his career as a carpenter. But he was given so many new friends, and indeed what he described as a new family, those who do the Father's will, who listen to his teaching and obey it. Jesus had to die to let go of the possibility of a comfortable and uneventful life, a long life, perhaps with a family, perhaps with a wife and children, only to be given the fullest of lives, the intensity of the Father's presence, the wonder of seeing God's kingdom come and eternal life forevermore at the Father's side. It hurt to give up those things, but the blessings were so many more than that which he let go of. And for us too, this is an important spiritual principle. Sometimes, in order to be able to do the Father's will and to fulfill our unique calling, it is necessary to die to certain things, to give things up. And this is a painful, painful path sometimes to follow, that we choose not to grab and take and hold all the things that could be ours, that we learn to let go, to hold things loosely, to let go, to give away, to die to some of those things that we could have, that we could make others give us, or that we could hold from others, to give, to let go. And isn't it true, isn't it your experience, that when you do that, you receive so much more as a gift from other people? God gives us so much back in so many ways, so that the pain is not any less painful, but it really is worth it. I wonder what it is that God is calling you to die to in this next phase of your journey with him. What is it that you are to let go in order to be able to fulfill, to be free to fulfill your unique calling and gifting from God? It might be painful, but I'll tell you this, it will be worth it.